Hello and welcome to our Holy Name Sisters Women on a Mission podcast. My name is Sister Mimi Maloney and I live in beautiful Santa Cruz, California. My co-host,
I'm Sister Teresa Shields, and I live in beautiful, sunny Seattle, Washington.
Our guest today is Sister Kathleen Ross, who started Heritage College, now Heritage University, in Toppenish, Washington, as an accredited and private institution offering a wide variety of academic programs and degrees. The belief at Heritage College, as stated in their mission statement, is that a college degree should be accessible to anyone with the talent and drive to pursue a degree, regardless of economics, culture, or geographic location. But before we begin speaking with Kathleen, I would like to ask Sister Teresa to lead us in our opening prayer.
Thank you, Mimi. This prayer was at the beatification of our foundress, Marie-Rose de Roche. Blessed Marie-Rose de Roche, obtain for us today the audacity of faith, the simplicity of hope, the power of love, that we may actualize the word of Jesus, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Teresa. So our first question, Kathleen, is tell us about what motivated you to go to the Yakima Valley, a rural area in Washington State, to begin what became known as Heritage University.
Well, thank you, Mimi and Teresa. It's certainly an honor and pleasure to be here today. That's a good question, Mimi, about what motivated me to go to the Yakima Valley, a remote rural area, because it's certainly that being in this Toppenish, the city here, is the smallest town I could imagine myself living in. I was raised in Seattle. I lived in Washington, D.C. and the L.A. Basin. Being here had to be the result of some real motivating experiences. So let me give you a short version. I was the new academic vice president at Fort Wright College of the Holy Names in Spokane, a 70-year-old college founded by the Sisters of the Holy Names and owned and run by them. And one day, two Yakima Nation Native American women from the Yakima Valley, Martha Yollop and Violet Lumley Rao, came to ask, could we offer degrees for their Head Start teachers? There was no opportunity in the Yakima Valley for four-year degrees, and they wanted there to have the best teachers for their children. Well, it was quite a process of talking with them, visiting down here, but the board did ultimately okay arranging for classes on weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and faculty ultimately agreed to make the four-hour drive down to Toppenish to do that. And that went on for six successful years. We had graduates from the program, the baccalaureate. We started a master's program. Some had graduated from that. When the sponsors of Fort Wright College, the Sisters of the Holy Names of Washington State, announced it was going to close in 18 months. So we began right away working for transfers of the students to other four-year colleges in the Spokane area. But what about Toppenish? I had to take the sad news down there. I did. We tried to find another college in the state that could take over the program. No success. None of them agreed. So then Martha and Violet said to me, well, let's start our own college down here. And I told them, you're crazy. And Martha said, tell us one thing we can't do. Well, I thought a minute and I said, well, you have to have a board of people who have the, we will be totally responsible for the new college. If it happened, but they have to have money, they have to have contacts, they have to have political ability. Well, I thought that would end that discussion. But within a couple of months, 12 people had been recruited, including two of the county's commissioners, the school district superintendent, the local hospital director, et cetera. Oh my, when I found that out, I remember I looked aside and said, dear God, you can't be asking me to do this. It might be impossible. But then the Sisters Administrators of Washington missioned me to go down there and work with Martha and Violet and make this happen. And I was very inspired at that point by Mother Marie Rose's story. Who would have ever thought that she could start an order out in some tiny little rural community that the French farmers were still running when the English had taken over? Who would have thought that could have happened? So I thought, well, maybe a miracle can happen. That's how I got motivated to come, because I got commissioned to do it. And also because I had inspiration from our history.
Thank you, okay. Kathleen. What a marvelous story. And again, you, along with the women there, saw a need and met it, that just as Marie Rose did in her day. Thank you.
That is so true, Kathleen. And obviously, the women trusted you and the sisters and the community that formed. Thank you, Kathleen. And again, it speaks to the trust of the people in Toppenish in you and what you had done already, and the trust that Violet and Martha inspired to have those powerful men and women agree to be on the board of this unnamed new educational endeavor. So tell us in a few words your core mission of Heritage University and how it fits in with the Holy Name's charism of the full development of the human person.
Well, the Heritage University mission statement has, of course, been refined over the years, but it's basically the same as at the beginning. And I'll read it to you first. It's just two sentences, and then I'll pull out the key ideas so I can really answer your question. It says, Heritage University empowers a multicultural and inclusive student body to overcome the social, cultural, economic, and geographic barriers that limit access to higher education. Rooted in the homeland of the Yakima Nation, we embrace transformational student-centered education that cultivates leadership and a commitment to the promotion of a more just society. A big mouthful, hmm? I see in that the same three values that we had when we began, key ideas. The first one is the purpose, the mission is to empower people to overcome barriers. Barriers like being very low income, like nobody in your family having gone to college before, what they now call being first in the family, a college attendee. Being from an ethnicity that were looked on as poorly educated, maybe not very smart, not expected to be very competent in professional fields. So why bother? Get overcoming that and empowering people to overcome that. And the second key idea was to be sure that the higher education that was provided was a high quality education, and that it was geographically accessible. Many people, since there wasn't any other four-year opportunity in the Valley, couldn't. Even if they were inspired by the other parts of the mission statement, it wouldn't do any good if they couldn't travel to someplace else or move there. It affected how we scheduled classes. What were people doing otherwise? And how we develop support programs for students coming from those backgrounds. And then the third key idea is to have the programs develop student leadership These are people from communities that don't have a lot of leaders in our society, and should. They have talents, and they can use their talents to be leaders that will help all of us. And their leadership being committed to creating a more just society. You heard that at the end of the mission statement. Very important that social justice and the activities that students are engaged in help them to truly develop a passion for more just society in whatever way each of them can contribute. So that's the core mission. And of course, all of those ideas certainly go along with the full development of the human person and the idea that a social commitment to social justice is part of the mission of the Sisters of the Holy Names.
So lovely and so inspiring that you thought of the wraparound services that students would need.
Yes.
For instance, I'm sure you provided childcare for some of the working mothers or fathers. And it's just the full development of the human person. So thank you, Kathleen.
Yes. And we still have an early learning center.
I think Marina Rose works in that, doesn't she?
Right. One of my fellow housemates, sisters that live here in
Good.
The town
thank
of
you.
Popish.
Yep. Right.
Thank you, Kathleen. This question kind of follows. I talked about the wraparound services and providing childcare. Can you tell us a little bit more about the demographics of the Yakima Valley and about the importance of having a college there in Toppenish?
Yes, that's a very important part of understanding who and what about Heritage University. As you know already from what we've talked about, it's in the Yakima Valley, which is a large area east of the Cascade Mountains in Washington State, a very large agricultural area with wonderful conditions for growing, especially fruits and hops. So some people call this area the fruit basket of the nation. We grow a very significant percentage of the apples, the cherries, fresh cherries, pears, some other fruits too. And we grow 70% of all the hops in the entire United States, which are used to make beer. So knowing that demographic, geographic information is vital. The population of the valley is about 250,000. 250,000 people. About half of them are descendants or recent immigrants from Mexico or Central America, Hispanic. And most of them have been attracted to being here because of all the work in the agricultural fields. About 10% of the county, maybe sometimes 15%, depending on the counting, are Native American. And that's because this area was the original home of the 14 tribes and bands that make up the Yakima Nation. The Yakima Nation was forced to leave 9 million acres of their central Washington territory and move on to the 1.5 million acres that is now the Yakima Nation Reservation. And that's the location of Toppenish and the whole, most of the lower valley of the Yakima County. They have many traditional religious and social practices they've been able to preserve here, but they had to leave the way in which they lived. So that is a very difficult aspect of their no running off to lots of places to get the salmon or to dig the roots or to kill the elk for meat. None of that, except within the bounds of this current reservation. So we have a large number of Native Americans here. Let me give you a little statistics, and that might tell you something. In Washington State, about 36% of the people from the census, our recent census, about 36% have bachelor degree or higher. In Yakima County, it's only 16%. And in the city of Toppenish and on the reservation, it's only 7%. So you can see what the need is. And in 1981, no four-year degrees were offered within commuting distance of this entire valley. There was a community college, which obviously continues, so people could get two-year degrees, but they could not get four-year degrees, which lead to careers. So those demographics explain why this valley really needed a four-year and even master's level college or university.
So what programs did you offer at the beginning of when you started?
Yes. Well, when we first started, of course, the outreach program from Fort Wright was always in education. But if we were going to become an independent institution, we needed to offer more degrees than just education. Of course, we continued the education, but we added a degree in business and we added a degree in social services and another one in humanities. So we basically had four degrees. We started with about 85 students, and those students were pretty evenly divided between Hispanic, Native American, and Anglo. Since that time, that demographic has changed a bit because as we've added more students, more are coming from the Hispanic background. So at this point, about 65-70% of the students are Hispanic, about 10-15% are Native American, and about 15-20% are Anglo. At the beginning, no one was directly out of high school. They were all adult students or maybe transfers from another college in the state who needed to be closer to home again. The big news, if you're asking me about our demographics and our degrees, are that we just passed this summer 10,000 graduates. 10,000 degrees have been offered, granted by heritage programs. So moving from the beginning, that 85 students changed a lot.
No kidding. And 10,000 people who will bring a wonderful life to their families because of Heritage College. Thank you.
So Kathleen, the last question, unless we have more time, but I'm sure there have been many success stories, one of them being 10,000 degrees granted, but many success stories that you have seen over the years. But would you maybe speak about one or two of those success stories and share with us and our audience about them?
Yes, I'd love to do that. I'm glad you asked me that question earlier, before we started the podcast, because there are so many students with wonderful stories. It gave me time to think, okay, Kathleen, you can only pick two. So I'll tell you a little bit about two of them. One of the first one I'd like to tell you about is one of our very early graduates. She graduated with a baccalaureate degree in 1986. Her name is Elizabeth Nason, but she goes by Betty. We always did call her Betty. And she was a student who had tried other degrees programs at other places. She'd moved away a little bit, then come back. She was she's a member of the Yakima Nation, but she was because she also was a mother at the time. She really just couldn't really get her degree program going so she could finish it. So having her coming to here in the very first class, well, one of the first classes anyway, and she only could go to school part-time because of her family, but she got more and more involved in Heritage, and that helped her really be able to get her teeth into studying very well. She was recently interviewed for a publication that Heritage University did. And she said what made a huge difference is that I and other of the administrators that she met, because it was a very small group at that time, always showed care and concern for her. If she needed to do something to get her car fixed so she could get here, if she needed some more help with managing the children that she had, we would help. So ultimately, that helped her begin to be motivated for what did she want to do beyond this. She wanted to be an attorney. She wanted to be an attorney who could work for the tribe, have a tribal person be the attorney or one of the attorneys, not somebody they had to hire from outside. So we encouraged her. She applied to Gonzaga University, got accepted in the law school. I actually helped her find some housing in Spokane when it was time for her to go there. And I did go to her graduation from law school. I was very proud of her. So she came back to the reservation. Here she worked on various projects. She started a whole program, a health program for people fighting obesity or some kind of addiction that was keeping them from being really healthy. So it was a program that set up exercising and all kinds of meetings and support groups for students. And she did several other very impressive programs. And then she was chosen a couple of years ago as the chief administrator for the tribe. So Elizabeth Nason is now the administrative director of the Yakima Nation, a nation that has more than 11,000 enrolled members currently. And if you count the people that aren't enrolled, you're probably looking at 20, 25,000 people in the area. We're very proud of Betty Nason. A second student that I could talk about is Alexandra Vera, Alex Vera. She was a teen mom from Toppenish and finally was able to graduate from Toppenish High School from their program for kids that weren't able to continue in the regular program. But after she graduated, she thought, what am I going to do? Is there anything I can do? And one day someone came to her house. She was just taking care of her kid and a little bit with the family, her brothers and sisters, so forth. Somebody came to the house and said, I'm from Heritage College and I'd like you to come out and see Heritage College. You're a recent graduate from Toppenish High School. And she said, oh, I've never thought of going to college. And this person said, well, come on out. It's kind of fun to look around. It was a younger person. And so she brought them out. And Alexandra says she was just blown away by the way she was treated immediately when she came on the campus. People were welcoming her. Oh, happy to see you here. Oh, yeah, you should think about coming. Oh, can I help you with this? So she was very excited that maybe she should change her mind, that maybe it wasn't true that she couldn't go to college. She did enroll. She did very well. She was in the business program. We have a very active business program, and she did very well at it. And then she was recruited. She worked at a couple of part of the business program is chances to have internship at various companies and so forth. At that time, we had as the chair of our board of directors, one of the executive vice presidents from Costco in Issaquah, the big headquarters for Costco worldwide. Well, he saw how talented some of the students were. So he would get in touch with the business program and, oh, let's see what. So Alex was one of the people he recruited to come and work for the headquarters of Costco. She is now employed at the headquarters in Issaquah, and she works in with the IT. She has a management job related to all of their IT services. So what a wonderful way to use her education. So those are just two of the stories that come to mind.
What wonderful stories, Kathleen. Gosh, I'm sure there are so many more.
Right. There really are.
There really are. Yeah.
Really are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the last of our questions, but I'm wondering, do you have anything else you'd like to add, or Teresa, before?
You know, I was thinking just to say a little, just short amount, that typically we have 1,000 students any given year, or a few more. And we now have about 20, over 20 different majors. And for instance, it includes a nursing program, a baccalaureate in nursing, pre-engineering, computer science. We have a nationally accredited program in social work. We have a visual arts program that Sister Terry Mullen worked in for many years. We turn out people with wonderful artistic ability. Of course, we have an American Indian Studies major. We have accounting in the business as a major. Environmental science is a big program here. Criminal justice is another one that combines some of the things from psychology and social work, very important for careers that are available. And of course, we continue to have many education programs for both elementary and secondary, and then for administration. I think every school now up and down the valley has teachers, and many of them have a principal or at least a vice principal or maybe a superintendent who has his or her degree from Heritage. So that's another little bit of saying it's wonderful to see that this has really blossomed.
Wonderful.
Out of the death of Fort Wright College,
right,
in Spokane, came the growth of this fabulous, wonderful education programs, which have benefited not only the 10,000 people, graduates, but their families and their friends and their grandchildren. So the ripple effects of that have gone probably around the United States and maybe part of the world. Thanks to your deciding to choose to accept the call. Thank you, Kathleen.
That's true.
You and the staff and the board of Heritage University have cast the fire of God's love for thousands and thousands of men and women around the world. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.